Let us pray.
Father, I thank you for your greatness. And we pray that your greatness would overwhelm all of us, not through my eloquence or my abilities, but through the power of your word. We thank you for your word, Lord. May it speak to our hearts and our minds, and may it transform us today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. My friends, please turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. The book of Hebrews, let me give you a little background on it. The author is writing to obviously a Jewish audience, and he's writing to encourage these Christians to focus on the absolute supremacy and sufficiency of Christ. It's quite the theme. And hopefully that's the theme of your life, you know. If you just read the first few verses of Hebrews, he talks about how God has spoken in many ways in the past, but now he speaks to us through Jesus, his Son, who is the exact imprint of God's nature, who upholds the universe by the word of his power. Jesus, my friends, he accomplished complete salvation for all who trust in him. And help us, Lord, not to neglect this great salvation that has been given to us. But Lord, help us in our everyday life to be imitators and examples of Christ. And that is where we enter our text in Hebrews chapter 12. So, like I said, the author of Hebrews is trying to get them, because really, the audience was struggling. They needed encouragement. And so we are entering in the book of Hebrews towards the end, where the author is calling his readers to faith and endurance. And he's calling us to this because of the assurance that we can have as Christians who have been given grace through faith, saved by grace through faith. And he goes through this like hall of heroes within the Jewish nation, starting, you know, with Abel and then going all the way through. And he mentions all these different peoples in different people in verse 11. And I think sometimes we get it twisted when we read Hebrews 11 and it talks about all these people of faith. Let's not forget, my friends, that every single one of the people mentioned in Hebrews 11, their faith was a gift from God. God revealed himself to every single one of those people, and they have faith because God showed himself to be real. And as a result of God revealing himself, they put their faith and their trust and they obeyed God. It was not this blind, irrational faith that had no substance. It was a faith that was rooted in the experience of God. And so, our text, the whole point of this message today, I don't know if we can put that up there on the screen, is this, that it is only through faith in Jesus that we as Christians can endure. That is the point of this message. And we'll talk about what it means to endure. So let's look at it. Verse 1. Whenever you see the therefore, you just got to back up. That's why we're starting in 11:38, not, or 39 instead of 12:1. Therefore, let's go back to 39. And all these though commended through faith, all the people, all the Christians that were mentioned, all these commended through faith did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. What he's saying that is essentially this. Until the time that Christ was raised from the dead, until Christ proved that he really was the Son of God, no salvation was complete until Jesus rose from the dead. Right? That is how we know that this salvation has been completed. So I need to take a few moments to talk about the faith of those people that are mentioned in chapter 11 and they're referring to in 39. Now, this faith that they were given, like I was saying, is a byproduct. Faith, the faith that you have, Christians in here, is a byproduct of God's grace. It is not something that you could attain on your own. It is given to you by the grace and the mercy and the power of God. Because we, as Christians in this room, let's be clear, we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, because of Christ alone. Not because we are of anything. We're not of any value in reference to the flaming burnness of God and his greatness. So faith, it is believing in his word. It is demonstrated that we believe because we trust and obey. And this faith, my friends, we are called to have faith as Christians because obviously we don't know everything. And although you may be on your phones, you know, thinking you know everything, right? It's clear we don't know everything, and we will never be able to experience the fullness of God on this earth. You know, we are looking and we are anticipating. Now, this faith that we have is not built on ourselves or on our personalities or our successes. It is built on the Bible, and it's built on the triune God who authored it. So let me just clarify that. Therefore, in light of this faith that we have been given, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, now, in light of God's merciful revelation, because, guys, the reality is, God did not need to show himself to be real to anybody, but he has chosen to do this out of his goodness and his love and his mercy for his glory. Let us not forget and let's not get it twisted that everything in this world exists for you. No, it's for him and for his glory, because his glory is your ultimate greatest good and hope and joy and satisfaction. In light of what God has done and what he is doing, what must we do? Go to verse 1. Look at what he says here, the author. Let us also lay aside every weight. Lay aside the burden that is on you, the thing that is preventing you from being what you are supposed to be. You're wanting to do something. You're wanting to accomplish something, but you have this weight that is either holding you back or it's holding you down, and it is just constricting you. And for all of us in this room, who knows what that is? It may be fear of rejection, fear of failure, worry, anxiety. Think about whatever that weight is that is on you, that is holding you back, what is preventing you from living a life of purity and preventing you from being a better witness, being a better son or daughter or husband or father or mother or wife. Think about that weight. And for some of you, it may be YouTube. Let's be real. Okay? But some of you, it may be your diet. And sometimes maybe it's your excuses. Or maybe it's your love for money. Or your inability to give generously and just hoard it. Or maybe it's your pride and your inability to forgive people who have wronged you. Or maybe it's even deeper. And it's you thinking you're better than other people for whatever reason you give yourself. Or maybe it's your competitive nature that is always wanting to be the best because you are so insecure. Ding, ding, ding. So look, my friends, let us lay aside the weight that is holding us down by allowing God to break through. And we are only able to lay this weight, this burden that has been set on us. The only way we will ever get rid of it is if God breaks us. He breaks us and he continues to break us. So not just over our sin, but he just breaks us down. And he shows us our need for him, and we just continue to surrender and repent. Now this brokenness and this that God gives, it comes from God. So let us lay aside every weight and what? We need to look at this three-level word that is pretty much the reason for all of our problems today. Our weight and sin. What is sin? I really struggle to define this, so I want to give you some definitions of sin that are from people that are much more holy and wiser, but I also want to give you the way I see sin. So what is sin? It is the very thing that separates you from God, but it is also, my friend, the very thing that Christ became and what he overcame on that cross, which we'll talk a little bit about more later. Don't worry. I will give you the gospel, and I will give it, hopefully, in the fullness of joy. But this sin, it is an act. It is a feeling that does something that is forbidden or ignores something that is required by God's law or his character, whether it's our thoughts, whether it's our feelings or our speech or what we actually do. Now, John Piper puts it like this, and if you know anything about John Piper, it's all about treasuring God. So his definition, sinning is any feeling or thought or speech or action that comes from a heart that does not treasure God above all other things. Now, personally, when I think of sin, and I look at my own life, and I look at the depth of my sin, I see sin as anything less than God's perfect standard. Anything less than his perfection. And that definition pretty much defines me as what? Sinful. And in need of someone to save me. Because everything I do, even my best deeds, are tainted with some measure of selfishness and pride. No matter how good they may appear to you, I know that in my heart, it's all over. Sin is all over. So essentially, sin, I gave you like a lot of blah. Sin is essentially our inability to honor God apart from God. Okay? Scott, that just made it way worse. Well, hopefully for some of you, you took something from that. Okay? Now, this sin, the weight and sin which clings so closely. All right, my friends, this sin, it's clinging to us. Why is it always clinging to us? Because it is part of our what? Our actual DNA, our nature as human beings. We have this sinful nature. And this sin slows us down and it ruins relationships. And let's be honest, it wreaks havoc on our lives. Therefore, let us get rid of everything which keeps us from doing what we should do, which is the sin that is clinging so closely to us. And here's what we need to do. The focus of our passage is the next few words. And let us run with endurance. Now, let's talk about endurance a little bit. Because you think of endurance, let me tell you what I'm talking about here and what the author is talking about here. When we talk about endurance, we're talking about this steadfastness, this power to withstand hardship or stress. And this endurance, my friends, any of you who have run for more than 5 minutes knows it is hard. It is not easy to keep running or doing something when you want to stop. But we are called, my friends, all throughout Scripture, to withstand hardship through the power of God. Let me read to you what the Bible has to say about endurance. And hear this, my friends. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not of worth compared to the glory that will be revealed to us. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. Finally, listen to what Christ said about tribulation and our need for endurance. I have said these things to you, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, that in me you may have peace. Because in the world, in your life, you are going to have problems. You're going to have tribulation. But take heart. What does he say? Take heart because I have what? Overcome the world. So let us run with endurance. What are we running? We are running this race that is set before us. Now, that is the focus of our text. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. One interesting thing that we can also take from this example of a race, is that if you are not a Christian in this room, which no doubt, Lord willing, there are people here who are not a Christian yet, I challenge you, my friends, get in the race. And if you are a Christian in this room, run. And run with endurance and do not give up. Because this race, the Greek word is agon, which means, what does that sound like? It's where we get the word agony from, right? This it's not a passive luxury. It is demanding and it is grueling and it is hard and it requires self-discipline and determination and perseverance. It's difficult. Agony. When I was preparing, I was like, whoa, race, agony. Wow, got it. I can't stand running. Okay, so in light of this difficulty and this race that we are either called to start running or continue to run with endurance, here's some things. I want to tell you some things that you need to do, some lessons in light of this race. Number one, realize that there is a race. There is a race, and we know that it is not going to be easy, as we talked about. It takes courage. It takes training. Your knees should be bruised in prayer, and your free time should be filled with Scripture. Your desire should be for God, then for your spouse, and then your children, not just for your hobbies. And for youth, it should be for God and your parents and your friends, and then your schoolwork. We sometimes miss that priority. My youth, if you don't hear me, hear anything. Prioritize the people that you are around rather than your schoolwork. But because 95% of what you talk about regards your schoolwork and your teachers and this grade and this class, transform that to being about the people that you are with. Get to know the people. Now, this is a hard race. But this race is not ultimately about you or what you can do. The race, as we're going to see, is about God and what he has already done. And the race that Paul is talking about here is not about, oh, you need to read your Bible and pray more. What is the race he's talking about here? This race is all about faith. Because this race has already been won. Can I get an amen up in here? I appreciate that. Jesus, my friends, he did what you could not do. He ran for us. He ran to death. And he ran to death on a cross. Let's look at verse 2. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He became the sin of the world so that we could be forgiven and live in a world filled with the fullness of joy that can come from God. During high school, in order for me to play soccer, I had to run 2 miles in a certain amount of time. If I could not meet that standard, I could not run. Guys, the thing here with this race that I'm talking about is that Jesus ran a race that we could never win, and the time that he ran that race in and the way that he ran can never be done again. Jesus did what you could not do. He did the impossible. He saved sinners like you and me who only and will only ever deserve what?
hell.
He made a way, my friends. So believe in him. Look at the race and the way that he ran, and rest assured that you have been forgiven because of what he did in taking all the sin we have ever committed upon ourselves. He was crushed by the wrath of God as a punishment for our sin. And rest assured, my friends, the punishment has been satisfied. The ransom has been paid, and we no longer need to live in fear of God's fierce anger concerning our sin. Our faith that was given to us by God's grace has saved us once and for all. God does not need you to be perfect, because look again at verse 2. Jesus is the founder and perfecter of our faith. Guys, doesn't what Jesus did for you make you want to cry tears of joy when you sing "How Great is Our God"? Doesn't it make you want to give to furthering his great name among the nations and amongst your neighbors and your schools? Doesn't it make you want to stop wasting your time and money? Doesn't it make you want to just pray and be in his word? So number one, there is a race, but the race has already been won. There's no need to finish in a certain amount of time like the peace tree so you can get in a better group for the next year. You know? Like, it's already been won. Now, this race, lesson number two, is that this race is impossibly hard because of the weight of our sin and the breadth of our separation from God. But, because of faith, the weight and the separation is gone. And it is easy in some ways. And let's talk about those. Now, faith, it takes the weight of sin off our backs. We are no longer dirty in the eyes of God. We are clothed with his purchased righteousness. And we need to ask God to continue to give us faith and to help us. Like it is hard, my friends, this race, because of your sin. But through faith, my friends, that weight can be lifted off you. And you are able to run. And you will know that as you run, and as you run, and as you run, you realize how worth it is to run this race of the Christian faith. Because Jesus, like I said, he has removed the weight of sin, and he took that sin. Now raise your hand if you're struggling to believe that a life devoted to Christ is worth it. I'm going to raise both hands, because I am so tired. I'm so tired because I see how Christians treat other Christians. I see how I treat other Christians. I see how I treat my family. I'm tired of the distance that I feel with some people who say they are Christians, but they're not real, and they're not honest about like what's going on. I'm tired of the expectations that are placed on myself as a minister of the gospel, to preach in a way that is maybe for people more than for God. I'm tired, maybe most of all, for the expectations that are going to be placed upon my wife and my children, by myself, not just others, but by myself, who call themselves Christians. And it is in these moments of deep despair that I have honestly, to be honest with you, have felt more recently than any other time in my life. It is in these moments of deep despair, like when I was finishing this message, that the Holy Spirit comes alongside me and says, "I am with you, and you are not alone in this race." And I begin to cry, not because I'm some emotional person, which I am, like, let's be real, as you can tell, you know? But because I know this to be true, because God has revealed himself to me as he did to every saint that is listed in Hebrews 11. And now I have faith because God has done the impossible. And I have encountered the awesome God of the Bible, Newsflash, it is impossible to encounter God and not be changed. It is impossible. It is impossible. If you want to be changed, my friends, have faith and believe and cry out to God. And in verse 2, he goes a little further. Looking to Jesus. Okay, Jesus, my friends, as Christians, Jesus is our ultimate focus. He's the one who pioneered our faith, and he awaits us at the finish line. Not dependent upon how far or how fast we run, but he's there, and we are looking to Jesus, because if you run and you look down, that's not going to work. Or if you're always looking behind you, right? When you run, you need to, as a Christian, you need to look to Jesus. Because when you start to not look to Jesus and to look down, I mean, stuff's going to hit you. And it's going to be a struggle. Like, go run as fast as you can with your head down to that wall and let me know what happens. All right? So this Christian race is very, let's be real, it's exhausting. But when we look to Jesus and we keep our faith on Jesus, because he is the founder, meaning he is the author, he is the leader, he guides us to the glory that we will one have. But he's not just the founder of our faith. Thank God, I am not the perfecter of my faith, because I will mess up faith every single time. Right? But Jesus, my friends, he is the perfecter of our faith. He is the completer of our faith. He is the person who brings us to completion without defect or blemish. You who are saved in this room, one of my favorite truths of all of Scripture is that for you who are saved in this room, there is nothing you can do that will make God love you more. And more importantly, is there's nothing that you can do that will make him love you less. His love is so unconditional. And this does not lead us as Christians to sin more. Right? This does not lead us to do whatever we want, because we'll know he'll forgive us and he loves us the same. This leads us wanting to look to him more and to get more people to look to him. This leads us to endure because of the fullness of joy that Christ has given us through faith. Now Jesus, my friends, who for the joy set before him, Jesus went through everything that he went through as fully man, fully God. He did all this for the joy of the supremacy of Christ and the sufficiency of Christ that is revealed to those of you who believe and will one day be revealed to everyone, regardless of whether they believed or not. Jesus ran for the glory of his exaltation. In his high priestly prayer that he prays over his disciples in John 17, Jesus says here, I glorified you on earth, and speaking to his Father, I, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. The cross, my friends, was something that the Romans would not even, when it's endured the cross, the suffering that the Romans inflicted upon through the cross, I mean, it was gruesome, and it was great suffering, but more importantly, he didn't just endure the cross, he despised the shame. This crucifixion, it was only reserved, as we know, for non-Roman citizens, because it was such a shameful thing. So why did he endure the cross and despise the shame? Like I already said, for his glory and his exaltation that will be had, because he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So have faith, my friends. Those of you who have faith, continue to look with faith in light of God's control of all things and him being with you in all things, in your time of evil, in your time of failure. Jesus is no longer in the grave, my friends. He has risen, and his Spirit has come, and his will is being done. And he is advocating for us. And he has given us direct access to God. And now what are we called to do? We're called to live by faith. So let's look at verse 3, so do not grow weary, my friends. Consider him who endured. We run with endurance, and we endure for the joy. Consider him who endured for sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that there is a race. Father, we thank you that you have done the impossible, that the race has been won. Lord, help us. Help us to endure, and help those people in this room who have yet to believe, help them to believe that this race is the only way to live. Although it is hard, Lord, there's unspeakable joy and fullness in your presence. So we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your word. May it not, Lord, may it not just be shelved by us. May it not be shelved by me. May we open it, not just by ourselves, but may we open it with our family and with our friends. Thank you for faith, Lord. Thank you that it is our hope and that it is the race that we run. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Stand for the responsive song.